Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you're having a great Thursday as we count down to this weekend at your church. I know you're super busy. There's a lot of things you could be spending your time on today, and I'm just privileged that you would take some time, honored that you take some time to spend with us today. Super excited to have Chris Vache with us today. He's from C4 Church, friend, friend of the podcast, been on before, east of Toronto. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, man. It's great to connect. Always fun talking with you, whether it's in person or over the internet or podcast, however it is. Love spending time with you.
Nice. Well, it's going to be good to talk to a Canadian today. You know, Chris's handle is Chris from Canada, all over the place. And so it's always fun to interact with Chris. Chris is a great guy, great leader. And so why don't you give us a sense of C4? Tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Sure. So C4, we are in the eastern suburbs of Toronto, and church founded about 30 years ago. And we've moved locations a couple times, and both times we moved eastward, so more into the suburbs. So we are deeply entrenched in what we call, so Durham region, Pickering, Ajax, Whitby, Oshawa, mm-hmm. Four cities, about 500,000 people in this region. Most people would be commuting into the city of Toronto, and so a lot of people who do suburban ministry familiar with just, you know, crazy schedules and not a ton of community, and so we're kind of right in the middle of that. We've been in this location since 1999, and I've been on staff here for a year and a half. I was hired here as the worship pastor, and then last summer became the creative arts pastor, so overseeing all of our worship, everything on Sunday, our music, and then all of our creative communications, all of our design, video, film, anything anyone would see, mm-hmm. And then also our production as well. Mm-hmm. We're a church of about 2,000 people, mm-hmm. Which, you know, people know ministry in Canada, 2,000 is a big number for church in Canada. Absolutely. And not a lot of churches of that size. So we look as hard as we can for people to learn from, either in Canada or in other places, because mm-hmm. We know there's people ahead of us making some really good decisions, and we want to learn from them as we just, man, do everything we can to reach more people for Jesus in this region and see God do some amazing, amazing things.
Absolutely. C4 is a great church. If you're not tracking along with it, you really should. They're doing all kinds of really interesting things, and I think are great communicators and just doing good stuff for sure. So now you guys, as you've been growing, you know, which is a great problem to have. It's a gold-plated problem. Why don't you describe, you know, some of the bumps along the way? What is it that, how have you dealt with that growth?
Yeah. So I came here a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. and we were new to this region, new to this area. And if you don't know Toronto, people are really, they're often surprised when they find out how big Toronto is. Mm-hmm. Toronto is the third largest metro area in North America. We just passed Chicago mm-hmm. Last year, I think. So it's a huge city. And we moved from the west side of Toronto to the east side of Toronto, which is not really like moving across town. It really is moving across the province.
Right.
And so we came to a new area, a new place, meeting all kinds of new people, learning how to do ministry in a new way. And so, you know, I personally had to like get up to speed real quick and figure out how to do life and do ministry in a new context with new people, leading in a new kind of church. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was on our plate sort of right as soon as we came here is we were doing one service in our main auditorium, about 900 seats, and we were full, mm-hmm. maxed out. And we have a vision here at our church. We really believe God's promised lots of things to our church. One of the things that we're going to be a regional church of 10,000 people. Mm. And that's very un-Canadian to say.
Yeah, very un-Canadian.
To put a number on it. But we really believe, Lord, is speaking to our elders and to our leadership in lots of different, very specific ways around mm. that number of 10,000. Mm. And so, you know, obviously we can't be a church of 10,000 meeting in one service in one
right.
location.
Yeah, right.
So we had already decided a while ago that, well, we're going to be multiple services in mm-hmm. multiple locations. And so I came here a year and a half ago, and we were sort of already up against that first barrier. What are we going to do? Are mm-hmm. we going to do multiple services? Are we going to launch another location? Or mm-hmm. are we going to do something different, maybe another venue mm-hmm. in our building? Mm-hmm. And so this is what we're going to talk about today is what we yeah. decided is we decided to do multiple venues. Mm. And so I'm sitting in what we call our Auditorium B. This is our stage drop behind us. And the I mean, I guess the three options on the table were you know, do we do a second service? Yep. We were doing a 10 o'clock service time. Mm-hmm. So do we add an 11:30 service or do we add an 8:30 service, which basically for people who don't do multiple services, I mean, the typical way would be you just sort of replicate everything.
Yes.
And you offer kids programming twice and it's the same service content twice and the preacher mm-hmm. preaches twice. Or you would do different styles, traditional and contemporary or cafe style or something. Mm-hmm. But basically the same content repeated twice. Mm-hmm. Or do we launch a second location? And you guys are pros at that. Mm-hmm. Multi-site church is, you know, becoming, mm-hmm. I think, a more common way and a more effective way to reach more people. Mm-hmm. So do we launch a second location and meet in a school somewhere or use right. another church building or
right.
And we would be C4 in another spot? Or do we do multi-venue, which mm-hmm. we had in our building a fellowship hall, mm-hmm. you know, which is a room, it's not a huge room, it's a room that we used it for our junior high ministry on Sunday morning mm-hmm. and for Alpha and for wedding reception dinners. There's a dance floor.
Right, nice.
In yeah, the middle that's fantastic. Of the carpet. But could we convert that into a space that could be on Sunday morning at the same time as our main service?
Right.
On Sunday morning, a second venue.
Right.
And so we made the decision to do that. And
yeah, you know, what drove that? Because I think the kind of more traditional route would be let's just add a second service.
Right.
What was it that led you guys to like, okay, no, actually let's do a second venue. Then we'll talk about what the venue actually is.
Yeah. There will be lots of things, and you know, sort of people have. If it's a new concept, they get freaked out. You know, we're not gonna be one church anymore. Right. We're not gonna see people anymore. How, you know, is the pastor gonna go back and forth from room to room? What about worship? But at the core, and these wouldn't be the only ones, but I'd say these would be the two things: one pro multiple venues and one against multiple services.
Okay.
So the pro for multiple venues was vision driven mm-hmm. because we knew to be a regional church of 10,000 people, we were not going to be one service in one location. We had already made that decision. So it was just like, at some point we have to do multiple venues.
Right.
Man, if we did a venue on site,
right.
that's way less risky than right. doing a venue off site. I don't know what the percentage would be of offsite campuses that fail in a first shot, but we thought, man, if we did an onsite venue, you know, we can control the experience. We're not paying for rent. We don't have to pay for a ton of equipment. We did have some startup cost. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going into a new neighborhood or a new location. We're not asking people to leave what they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing. It was really vision driven, mm-hmm. onsite, safe venue. The second one, which sort of against multiple services, is we weren't ready at the time to duplicate some of our volunteer teams. Mm-hmm. That would be mostly in kids and in hospitality or connections.
Okay.
Yep. So to take our full kids offering, we do from birth up to grade 4 for kids, mm-hmm. and then grade 5 up to grade 8 is for junior high on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. You know, that takes a lot of volunteers on Sunday
right.
morning.
Right.
Greeters, ushers, all that stuff. And mm-hmm. we felt, man, to ask people to serve two services on a Sunday with three-year-olds.
Right. It's not going to work out.
For that.
Yeah, exactly.
So those two things where we felt, man, at the point we were at, we weren't ready mm-hmm. to double our serving teams. And we knew we were going to eventually be multiple venues. So those mm-hmm. two things working together were sort of like, man, let's try this.
Let's do it. What does it look like? Give me kind of describe what's happening when you say multi-venue. Are you doing, you know, obviously it's a smaller room.
Yeah.
You know, what is the experience like if I came to that venue?
Yeah. So our main auditorium, about 900 seats, mm-hmm. about 200 in the balcony. So a good sized room. Mm-hmm. We pour a ton of energy into our Sunday morning. Sunday morning is our main event for us. You know, we say like every Sunday is the Super Bowl. It's a big deal for us. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want our second venue, our auditorium B, to be, you know, amateur hour.
Right.
And so what we talked about is we have live worship, mm-hmm. live host, live teaching by video.
Okay.
Live worship, live host, live teaching by video. Mm-hmm. Our auditorium B seats about 220 people.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
We spent some money, we put in this black curtain. There's a TV above my shoulder here.
Yep.
There's two screens. Mm-hmm. You can see the Kingdom Come. That's a neon sign. It's turned off right now.
Nice.
We love neon at C4. And Kingdom Come is our annual theme. It's a stage element that was present in our main auditorium that we brought over to Auditorium B. We found that was really important. Mm-hmm. So we have a live host. a host for us on Sunday morning, does our welcome, does our transitions out of worship, mm-hmm. announcements, offering, right. Congregational prayer. They also do the close of the service. Mm-hmm. So there's three segments for the host. So we have a live host in main auditorium and in auditorium B. Live worship, that was really important for us. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a key part of the C4 worship experience is it's not coffee house. It's not acoustic. Mm. We were actually really careful. It's actually not the quiet venue. It's still loud in here in right. this room. And so we would, you know, 1 week I might be leading or one of our worship leaders be leading in main auditorium with their team. The next Sunday they'd be leading in auditorium B. Okay. It wasn't the junior varsity team.
Right.
That was really, because we were asking people to give up their seat in main auditorium and come to auditorium B to make more room for new people
right.
in main auditorium. And so we didn't want to dumb down the experience
yes, right.
and say like, oh, you know, sorry, we couldn't give you the real deal. Here's the leftovers.
Uh-huh.
And then live teaching by video.
Right.
And that was a language decision where we didn't say video teaching,
right.
but we said live teaching by video. And we did it, I mean, literally as easily as we could. We have one camera
right.
in our main auditorium. We already had it there because we had a one camera podcast
yep.
where we just video the service.
Mm-hmm.
We have some tech guys. I'm not a tech guy, but I know what I want for a final product.
Yep.
You know, there's a cable that comes out of the camera.
Right.
It gets sent from the big room to the small room. And then we use Pro Video Server, mm-hmm. the guys that make ProPresenter. So if people are familiar with using ProPresenter from Renewed Vision, they mm-hmm. have a sister product called Pro Video Server.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at all kinds of solutions like PVRs, mm-hmm. security camera software.
Mm-hmm.
We scoured a way to do it on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Video Server isn't cheap, but it's not. You could spend a lot more money than what you spend on Pro Video Server, but we
right.
found it was the right solution.
Right.
And so we have in our tech booth in Auditorium B, one Mac Mini that runs ProPresenter, one Mac Mini that runs Pro Video Server. So the teaching feed comes into the Pro Video Server Mac Mini, goes into our switcher mm-hmm. and out to our projectors. We don't get tricky with multiple cameras, all that stuff. It's literally just one camera feed
right.
being sent over. From the big room to the small room.
So what happened? So it's not, you know, obviously you invested a bunch of time, effort, and energy. I love yep. the language stuff there. I'm sure people picked up on that because I think you can, you know, I've stubbed my toe on that stuff in the past. Mm. If you don't think that stuff through, you can, there's unintended consequences when you use, right. you know, language like video teaching, you know, or whatever it could be, you can, you know, end up there. So what ended up taking place? Did it work? Did people, you know, because that's going from the main room is, even though it's only, you know, yeah. I've been in your building, it's probably 200 feet or 100 feet, it's close, but emotionally, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
What happened?
So what we did is we had the opportunity to make it vision-driven and mm-hmm. to say, we're full.
Yeah.
There's lots of people coming. You can feel it, right?
Right,
you could
right,
feel the
right.
pain. We had just gone through an Easter weekend where we were jammed out. We had people, a Christmas where we were, you know, we had people in the aisles. It was packed.
Right.
And so we went to people early in the year and said, you know, it's full. You know it. There's more people coming. We just have to make more room. We have to make more seats. Mm-hmm. So we actually asked for 150 people to RSVP.
Okay, nice.
And we used that language. We said, you know, just like you would make a reservation for a restaurant, we want mm-hmm. you to RSVP, and we're asking for 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We launched a trial.
Right.
And we told people, we invited people to help us learn.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to this, you know, it's better to fail on-site than off-site.
Mm-hmm.
We know this is our future, mm-hmm. so please help us learn this. We need 150 of you in Auditorium B every Sunday. And here's the first date. We did mm-hmm. a dry run the Sunday before.
Mm-hmm.
The dry run Sunday, we had our highest attendance ever.
Oh my goodness, wow.
And, you know, not a coincidence. We'd
right.
been planning for it and talks for a long time. And, you know, March 23rd,
yes.
2014, we had our highest attendance ever. And, you know, coincidentally, March 30th was our first Sunday where we opened up
wow.
a couple hundred more seats.
Wow.
So we ran for 10 weeks
mm-hmm.
and we had numbers would have varied between 110 to maybe 230
right.
Up and down. It never felt empty.
Right.
You know, the seasonal pattern followed the way it did in main auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially that's what we did. We just asked people to step up and to say yes, to make more room in our main auditorium.
So if you only have 220 seats and you're pushing up against 230 some weekends,
yeah.
what happened then? Like that seems like, okay,
yeah.
it's working. You know,
right.
in some ways you know, Like, it's great. Again, it would be great if it was, we averaged 150 and just kept going. But it sounds like you were, you know, pushing up against that.
Yeah. So the first couple of weeks we set up, we actually, I said we had two, we could seat 220. We actually set up about 250 chairs.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. So the first Sunday, it was rammed in here. Right. It was hot.
Right. Right.
People were squished in. Yeah. And we thought, man, nobody's going to come back if the experience is like this. So let's actually take away chairs. Mm-hmm. We're still opening up more seats than we need.
Right.
So let's take away some chairs so that when this room is full, you know, even people who want to be in Auditorium B, they will feel good about that, even if they have to sit in main auditorium. Mm-hmm. We did baptisms in here. We did communion in here. We did Easter Sunday in Auditorium B. We felt like everything that we would do in our main auditorium.
Right.
We should replicate that in Auditorium B and not have it feel like a secondary experience.
Yeah, I think this is a great, you know, for churches out there that are thinking about, particularly like you guys are thinking about multi-site, you know, I know a part of the punchline is you're going to end up launching another campus here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this is a great first step because you're, you know, you're learning there. There's a part of it where, you know, even just whoever's doing the teaching, being in front of a camera, learning what that's like, you know, learning to kind of how do they deal with that. That's all a win, you know, all around. And that's fantastic.
And we didn't just say that we wanted to learn. We actually, like, we were really intentional about it. So every Sunday we had, we don't do comment cards a lot here at C4.
Right.
We did comment cards on the seats.
Oh,
every seat, every Sunday. And the first 5 weeks, it was literally just rate the experience.
Right.
You know, did you enjoy being in Auditorium B for the service? Yes or no?
Right.
You know, did you enjoy watching the pastor on screen? Did, you know, how was, you know, there's some evaluation. Some questions are 1 to 10, but it was basically just rate the experience. The second half of those 10 weeks, the last 5 weeks, we started asking missional questions.
Mm-hmm.
Would you invite a friend with you to attend a C4 venue like this?
Right.
If there was a C4 venue like this closer to where you lived, would you choose to attend that venue rather than our main service? It was it was really interesting, but we were really intentional about asking for input and trying to learn. And man, we learned.
Big
we
time.
Learned a ton.
Very cool. Good. So then, you know, does it continue to run today?
Yeah. No. No. So we ran it for that initial 10 weeks, end of March until, you know, whatever, May.
Yep.
And then, like a lot of places do, summer attendance changes.
Yep.
And so we went back just to our main auditorium for the summer. Mm-hmm. September hit, we relaunched Auditorium B, and by September we were out of learning mode.
Right.
So now this is like a full-fledged venue for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, praise God, we continued to grow so that by the time we got into October, November, we were starting to fill up again our main auditorium, and then the questions started to ramp up. Okay, now what?
Right.
We're full. And so now what do we do? So what we decided to do was in December, we launched a second service. And so we went from one service time in two locations to two service times in one location. So right now we do 9 o'clock and 11:15 in our main auditorium.
Right.
Been doing that since December. It's now middle of April, starting to get full.
Right.
We've had, you know, record attendance multiple times.
Yeah, that's
since
great.
We've done that. So, you know, we know we've got Auditorium B as a release valve, as an option for us, even just for one service. We could do 9 o'clock in two venues, 11:15 in our main auditorium, maybe vice versa. And then, and then we're also still in big conversations and planning about this offsite venue.
Very cool. As well. So was there anything that you learned from launching the venue that then you kind of took and applied that to going to multiple services?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I said, you know, one of the reasons we didn't do multiple services back in the spring was part of the reason was our volunteer teams. We didn't feel like we had capacity to, you know, double our teams in hospitality and kids. By the time we got through our ministry last year, we felt like, okay, maybe we can now ramp this up. And so we did a big campaign that we called Add and Multiply. And that was our lingo for going to two services. We told people we've added a venue and now we need to multiply into a second service. Because the communication around that always gets tricky.
Right.
And especially because we were asking everyone to change. We had a 10 o'clock service time.
Yep.
And we didn't have a 10 o'clock service anymore. We were going 9 and 11:15. So we were asking everyone to change.
Right.
And so, man, don't tell me what to do. I've been coming to church for 10 o'clock since Well, no, you haven't. But
yeah.
So we use that add and multiply. We've added a venue. Now we need to multiply into services, and we use that same language for serving.
Right.
We were asking people to add to their serving. Mm-hmm. You know, you might serve occasionally. Would you consider serving regularly?
Right.
And then we said we also need to multiply our teams. Mm-hmm. If you have never served before, you know, like you say, this is the perfect time.
Yeah, time to get in.
It's the perfect time to get in.
Yeah.
And so we use the add and multiply for the venue and service time, but also for our volunteer teams. Mm-hmm. And man, the response was massive. It was awesome.
Nice. Very cool. Just at curiosity's sake, how did the kind of attendance split out between the two, the 9 and the 11:15? Where did that land for you guys?
Well, I think the sort of general accepted is like you'll see 60-40.
Yep.
So 60 at the earlier and 40. So we've been around there.
Yeah, so wait a second. 40 at the second? Your second service is smaller.
Yeah. Our second service is smaller. Hmm. And part of that, I think, is weather. We've had a brutal winter. Mm-hmm. So it's now nicer weather. It's actually starting to even out in our adult numbers, but our kid numbers are still 60-40 at the earlier.
Okay.
Interesting. But our adult numbers are pretty even.
Great. So you've created a bunch of space at that 11:15 service, which is great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we've created a bunch of space, but we've had some Sundays where we've been pretty full. It's awesome.
That's incredible. Yeah. Nice. Well, is there anything else you want to share, just around all this, around multiplying, you know, venues and service times before we move on?
Man, I guess to say, like, if you're thinking about it, go for it.
Right.
And, you know, there's conversations you got to have, like, how do we feel about video teaching? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think pastorally, you should wrestle through that so that you've got, you know, if you're in pastoral leadership, you should wrestle through that so you've got a handle on it, because people will ask.
Right.
It costs less money than we were expecting it to do it well.
Hmm.
Now it costs some money. It's not free.
Right.
You could do it for free or for really cheap, but it's worth the investment.
Right.
Because we had a couple hundred people, and they were, I just all the time, like, they're choosing to be here.
Right.
On Sunday morning, mm-hmm. sleep in, work in the garden, go to kids soccer, whatever it is. They're choosing. The least we can do is create a great environment and a great experience for them.
Right.
To come. So make it, you know, invest in the experience for people when mm-hmm. they come, and mm-hmm. it costs less than we were expecting. And the other thing would be that and this has been proven, but it was a good learning for us. Like, video teaching works.
Right. Right.
Really works.
Yeah.
And the clincher for me, we had a Sunday, one of our first Sundays in Auditorium B. Our pastor, he loves to tell stories, and he's got mm-hmm. little kids and mm-hmm. suburban. That's great. You know, mm-hmm. he tells stories about his kids and the goofy things they do. He was talking about going to the grocery store and saying, like, you know, at the grocery store, and my kid's doing this. And he says something like, you know, who's ever been in that kind of situation before? And in Auditorium B,
people put their hands up.
The room, people all across the room put their hands up. And that, for me, was the clincher, that they were watching on video, but they were interacting the same as they would in a live experience.
Yeah, and, it's so true. I've seen that in so many different venues where people assume everyone has a reason why it won't work in their community. You know, like, I've talked to folks in California, they're like, well, you know, like, this is the entertainment industry. People won't work here. Or they're like, you know, there's some part of the country where they perceive that they have a higher level of intellectuals. Oh, I'm not sure this will work. Or, you know, or it's the other way. It's like, well, this is like bluegrass country. It's not going to work here. And, but, you know, generally, you know, it works. It works as a strategy, for sure. The other thing I love, I hope people, just to underline this as we kind of wrap up, is I love that I think so many churches get to the point where you got to, and they get paralyzed and don't find a way to multiply. And actually, that limits the work of God in your church, right? Which I know is a scary thing to think about, but it's true, right? If you don't, there's a part of this that's like a faith step where it's like, hey, we're going to try this thing.
Yeah.
We're going to and see what happens.
But,
you know, it is possible for us to, you know, slow things down, to slow down the momentum, you know, we're feeling.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, I really appreciate you being on the show today. You know, thanks for taking time out. We're coming about 25 minutes. So we've had great, you know, great conversation. The one thing I want to ask you about before we leave is I follow you on Instagram and I'm following you on Twitter. And what is this about chickens? What is happening in your life with chickens?
Oh, man. So I have a wonderful wife. She's amazing. We've been married for 12 years, and she's a country girl.
Yeah.
And we have four kids. We have two dogs and a cat. So it's not like we're looking for more things to do, right?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. I mean, chickens, it's something we've been talking about for a few years. There's something, I don't know, there's something kind of romantic about like
raising
little
some
backyard,
chickens.
Raising some chickens, having some eggs.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, although we're a suburban church, we don't, you know, our house isn't in a suburban neighborhood. We live a little bit out of town. We got a little bit of property.
Yeah.
And so we've been talking about it for a few years and it just, you know, the time was ripe. So yes, we are now officially chicken owners.
Fantastic.
16 little chicken meatballs arrived at our house
last week.
The kids are fascinated. The dogs are fascinated. The cat the cat is like she's terrified.
Right. Well, so, particularly as they grow, totally they'll be that. Wow.
So they're incredible. In a big Rubbermaid container in our living room for a couple weeks. They'll move to the basement for about a month, and then we'll kick them outside. And, you know, you'll love this because, I mean, the real reason is so that my kids can have a job and sell eggs and make some money so that we can go back to Disney.
Nice.
That's a good thing. The real reason.
Yeah,
and I know you're on board for that.
So. That's great. Well, Chris, I really appreciate being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with C4, how can they do that?
So me personally, yeah, Chris from Canada everywhere. So ChrisFromCanada.com, Chris from Canada on Twitter, Chris from Canada on Instagram. Periscope? Are you periscoping?
I haven't I'm an Android guy, so you know I was looking for it, but I don't think they have an Android app yet.
Sorry to hear that.
I know.
you can do a whole podcast on Periscope. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so people can track me that way, and I love connecting with people.
Absolutely.
All over the place, mostly because I learn so much from people who are doing stuff differently from me. So love to connect that way. C4church.com is our main site. And then on social media, C4 Church Durham, D-U-R-H-A-M. We're in Durham region. So C4 Church Durham on social media, C4church.com is our website.
Nice. Well, thanks so much, Chris. I really appreciate you being on the show, taking time out. I know you've got a lot going on, but I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
Anytime, Rich. Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.